Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are halfway home on a Tuesday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you. It's our pleasure to serve 5 days a week for you. Try to give you some laughs, make you think about some stuff, you know, make you mad, whatever. Whatever you use us for, we're happy that you do. We really appreciate it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindel, the executive producer. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. And gentlemen, I wanted to read something here before we get to Corn Star, which is potentially, and it's a long list of the worst country songs of all time, and it's a real song.
Before you read this, I want to welcome Sam Levitt to our chat.
Hi, Sammy.
And welcome back from his wedding.
Hello,
he will return
Not
to
his wedding.
The wedding that he attended, yes, over the weekend. He will return to the Padres pre- and post-game show today at 3:45 for Game 2 of the Padres-Cardinals series.
It'll be great to have him back. I wanted to start here, though, and it's a little sportsy for the 8 o'clock reset, but I think it... It made me laugh, and it's painstakingly accurate. And Bob Melvin is not having the greatest time in San Francisco. We remember when he was here, he did his press conference, and he said, I used to look across the field and think, you know, why not me as the manager of the Giants? And they spent a lot of money. They got a lot of guys. Some of those guys they've already moved on from. But Bob Melvin, what's their record right now?
66-66.
They are a .500 baseball team. Bob Melvin, what was the Padres record last year?
82-80 at the end of the year, yes.
That man has lived in .500 purgatory for about a year and a half. The teams that he's managed have been .500 for, you know, whatever, 300 some odd games or something. Almost 300 games. Brant Brisby, who is a brilliant, brilliant writer, covers the Giants, writes for The Athletic, writes an article last night about, you know, the Giants and being .500. What I wanted to read to you guys was this comment, and I retweeted it last night, and it's so brilliant. Paulie, if you would. Grant said pardon, the Giants are two pieces of bread with a single cold-cut slice in the middle. No condiments or cheese. This guy, right, he quotes that, and then he says, I spent a month in jail about 20 years ago. That's one of the things I remember most. Every meal was exactly the same. Two pieces of white bread with a slab of bologna in the center. Just one slab, nothing more. No mayo or sauce. No cheese, no lettuce. That's a perfect metaphor for the Giants season. Because watching them day in, day out, is similar to being in jail in many ways. There's no escaping the mundane boredom of it. Every day essentially feels exactly the same as every other day. You just watch this team because there's nothing else to do. There are plenty of people who constantly talk big about their plans and aspirations when they get out. But you know it's empty and sad when those dreams usually involve things such as getting cheap drugs. Like how many of us loyal Giants fans try to talk favorably and optimistically about this team. But deep down, we all realize they're beyond hope. If you try wavering from the set routine, it means the guards throw you in your cell and it gets more boring. Like when the Giants go over .500, then immediately the illusion is broken and go on a losing streak to get back. You don't have access to clocks or calendars, so you have no idea what time or day it is. You just know exactly what's going to be happening, and you have to try and deal with it, like trying to watch this team every day. Like the 2024 Giants, being in jail is just boring, predictable, and constant. And it hit me in my gut because... that was a perfect explanation of what 2023 was. If 2023 was being in jail, yeah, he's talking county jail, right? He's talking, I got a 20-day, 30-day stint I got to do, got a DUI, whatever.
Really, it's just bologna sandwiches every day.
It's not great. It's not great. It's been in this guy's scene, wherever that was, that's what it was. But you guys remember last year, did it not feel exactly like that? And did it not feel like that the first half of this year?
I think it felt more like it this year than it ever did last year.
And
your Padres couldn't get to 500.
They could not
last
get
year.
There. But you're mired in it. And I loved when he said, if you try wavering from the set routine, it means the guards throw you in your cell and it gets more boring. How many games last year or the beginning of this year were you like, this is more boring than anything else I could be doing right now? And I just thought, what a brilliant way to sum up what it's like to be a fan of a 500 baseball
team. There's definitely an existential nothingness to 500, an ennui about it. Mm. But in one sense,
a what?
Ennui. E-N-N-U-I. It's French.
Oh, yeah.
Ennui.
I didn't know how you say that. I've never heard an actual human use it in a conversation.
But in it,
ennui.
Isn't a 500 team, though, the most unpredictable of teams in baseball?
Because
any
really.
Day can be a win.
Or a loss.
Or a loss.
But that's the same for every team.
For a good team, more of the days are going to be wins. You're more consistent. A bad team, more of the days are going to be losses. You're more consistent. But the 500 team is actually the most circus act unpredictable of teams in Major League Baseball. Are we going to get one of those great wins that gives us hope? Or are we going to get one of those terrible losses that steals that hope away? And you don't know which it's going to be. You just know in the end, you're going to end up back at 500.
It's just such a... And, you know, Cardinals fans going through it right now, right? With this team being 500 or one game below.
Game under now.
Yeah, game under now, thanks to the pod.
Hopefully they don't climb back to 500 today.
Yeah, correct. And hopefully they mix up the routine in the jail. I just thought it was such a brilliant way to put it. And I read it over and over and I went, man, that is... You nailed it. You absolutely nailed what it's like to be a fan of a 500 team. And I tweeted, give this guy a job at the Athletic or give him a Pulitzer Prize.
Now, Tony pointed out they had a no-hitter to cheer for recently.
They did.
It hasn't been a completely pointless season for the Giants. Their roster, though, I mean,
we had a Cy Young last year and a Gold Glove.
Yeah, I mean, but last year's Padres roster just had more interesting elements to it. More frustrating, I think, because of that.
Because of the interesting
elements. Giants lineup. I mean, it's been a few years now where it just feels like a collection of okay players. I mean, they tried to inject some life this year with Matt Chapman, but hasn't really injected much life into that San Francisco Giants lineup. It's a good pitching rotation for the most part, but not great every single day. They just have no signature, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a team that exists in the Bay Area.
Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so. And I just thought this guy summed it up so well. And speaking of Cardinals fans, I tweeted last night, you know, it looks like baseball's best fans took the night off here in St. Louis because there was nobody at that game.
I didn't see the final attendance yesterday, but they said the previous couple of games had been the lowest in new Busch Stadium history.
I wonder what old Busch thinks about that.
But Busch.
How was old Busch compared to new Busch?
Now, we were told...
Now, their attendance on... Now, this has got to be tickets sold.
Inflated,
not
yeah.
The turnstile number. 28,697.
That's still maybe the lowest, again, ever. Because I think the lowest was right around 29 the day before.
Yeah.
So that may have been a new record low attendance at Busch Stadium.
So I was breaking their balls on Twitter, which I'm known to do. Bit of an irritant, I get it. This gal, Ashley, quote tweeted me and said, dude, our corn is emitting buckets full of sweat into our atmosphere, creating excessive heat warnings in the Midwest today. Temps in the high 90s feels like over 100. We deserve to watch the game in air conditioning. I just wrote back, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You're absolutely right. And we learned that corn sweats this morning. And then it popped into my head that there's an actual song. This is not an AI-generated song. This was a song that was played on the radio, and it's a real thing.
I wonder what genre a song about corn is coming from.
Probably hip-hop.
Emo.
Yeah.
Yeah, hip-hop.
Maybe the blues.
The blues. I'm going to need you to work up a corn song about...
Oh, in 30 seconds.
I need a blues song about corn. ASAP. But this is a real... Who is the artist here, Paulie?
This is Craig Morgan.
Craig Morgan.
And the title is... Corn Star.
Corn Star. It's the worst thing of your life.
I already hate it.
Here she comes.
Oh, the laugh.
She loves green and yellow.
She loves green and yellow. like John Deere. This is embarrassing.
She's not the kind of girl you meet on the corner of Hollywood and Vine, but you might bump into her on aisle 21 at the Farmer's Feeding Supply, with a bag of seed on her suntan shoulder, cut off jeans and a tight tank top with a big red mower on it.
I hate
you this. Wanna be a farmer, don't it?
No.
No. You won't see her in the centerfold of Playboy magazine. No. She's too busy getting dirty in a field of green. She's a corn star.
It's unbelievable, man.
The talk of the crop at every county fair, y'all. Corn star. Blue ribbon winner for the last 5 years. They cut a four-lane highway right through her pasture. Blame it on progress and moving traffic faster. But everybody knows the only reason for the road was to see her trailer lugging on the top of that tractor.
That's the only reason for the road.
It's real, man. That's a real story. No,
see your chugging lugging on the top of that tractor.
That is absolutely.
She's a corn star.
That's absolutely real. A corn star. Sorry to steal KSON's thunder down the hall. Sorry about that, fellas. Ladies. So bad.
Hey, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard.
Are you out of your mind? I want to talk.
Had a bit of a toe tapping beat.
I want to talk. Joey said, this is your culture, Woods. It's not. I've never farmed anything in my life just because I'm from Texas. I have no, I'm the least, you guys know this. I want to talk about your use of ennui again. Somebody
ennui.
Thought, somebody in the chat thought you said ennui.
Jersey Mike's?
This is a corn segment, not a wheat segment.
I've seen that word before. Never knew what it meant. Thought it was pronounced NY.
NY, like NY. The NY Mets or the NY Yankees?
ENNUI. Ennui.
A feeling of listlessness and dissatisfaction.
Ennui.
Ennui. Arising from a lack of occupation or excitement.
So you're out of a job?
Ennui.
Ennui. What?
It's kind of a nothingness.
Ennui.
Ennui.
No, no one's ever used that word in a sentence.
People use that word all the time.
Who? French people.
Yeah, among others,
ennui.
Yes.
Do you know what this is? Today is also National Pots de Creme Day. Do you know what a pot
Pot de Creme. Oh. It's pronounced...
Listen to this, pot de creme. Is it really?
Yes. It's not pot de creme.
It's just pots. Pots
it's
de
French.
Creme.
It's a pot de creme.
National pot de
it's
creme.
It's a pot of cream.
Is
if
that what it is?
Translate it, yes. It's a pot of cream.
Do you hear the disdain, Paulie, in his voice?
It's furious.
It's French fancy pudding is what it is. It's a pot de creme. It's what we like to, you know, if you want to eat something that's like pudding, but you don't want to say, hey, I'm serving you pudding for dessert, you say pot de creme.
Hmm.
It's much fancier. You can charge more for it as well. If you go to, steakhouse for dinner and they have pudding for dessert, you're gonna go, why is this $12? But when they call it pot de creme, you go, oh yeah, I'll pay $12 for that.
You've never seen that either. He is the fanciest guy I've ever seen, ever. And he was so smug when he said it.
There's nothing fancy about knowing words.
They're French words, though. You're not French. Ennui. Pot de creme.
Right, look at in the chat. You know that word, right? Jeffrey's word, say...
Hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres.
Yes.
That's a French word.
I know that word.
So it's French for appetizers.
It is.
But we say hors d'oeuvres sometimes. Does that make us too French?
No. That
too fancy?
Right. Fromage is cheese.
It is.
Yep, I knew that. It's very...
The French know their food.
They do. It's some of the best I've ever had. Well, thank you for indulging us. We had to get that Corn Star song in. Don't know how well it did on the charts or anything, but it really ruined my day.
I'm sorry that it ruined your day.
Blues corn.
Summer sun is beating down. Ground is cracking, fields are brown.
This is so weird how they do it in 5 seconds.
Sweating corn in St. Louis town. Wishing rain would come around.
That John Mayer
might be better than Corn Star.
Oh, it's way better.
He waves rise, the sky so clear. Sweat drips down, got no fear.
How do they do this?
I don't know. Corn is is whispering in my ear.
Corn is whispering in your ear.
Here's the chorus.
Oh, the corn is sweating out. In the heat, it won't back down. St. Louis fields are golden crowns. Sweating corn, the talk of town.
And things. Our transformation from Padre station to fully AI-generated music station is complete.
Somebody said Ben is a real smug merchant. He is very smug.
It's not my best quality, but it does pop up from time to time.
At least you own it. Yeah, as Adam says, corn plays here on 97.3.
All right, we're come back. We got a little bit of an update on the Padres' injured stars. Fernando Tatis Jr., Ha-Sung Kim, Yu Darvish from Mike Schilt yesterday. We'll get you caught up on where they're all standing. And then Jesse Agler going to join us from Corn Sweatin' St. Louis coming up at the bottom of the hour. First, a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I've always been accused of being somewhat corny, so this seems appropriate today.
Yeah, it does.
The show has turned into corn talk, and it all started with the corn sweating in St. Louis, depressing the attendance at Busch Stadium, leading to heat and humidity for the Padres' 4-game series against the Cardinals.
Well, and then everyone in the chat started doing like Jake Cornyn work.
Well, that's perfect.
Yeah, the corn zone. This is a little different than the Crone Zone. The Jake Crone, you got Jake Cornenworth. Adam said Luis Maiz, which I don't really get. Adam Mazur.
Former Padre. Future Padre. Alex Cobb.
Don. Don Corncillo. That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Elote Diaz. Mason McCorn.
Oh, I like that one. That's
a good one. Kyle Higashucker. These are really good. Mike Shuck.
It's Mike Stock? No.
No.
Shuck.
I know.
Joe Musgroves.
Adam says Maiz is Spanish for corn. I know that Maiz is Spanish for corn. His name is Luis Ariz. Maiz. Let's just leave the comedy to us, pal. All right? Go approve my vacation, please, for the love of God.
Now, I don't know whether this is accurate or not, Woods, but you see Frank in our chat releasing U.S. Oasis dates.
Wait, where?
It may have just come out, starting, Soldier Field.
Oh, that's what I saw yesterday.
East Russell. Okay.
That's the leaked one?
Leaked dates. Rose Bowl in late 2025. No, these aren't earlier, though. These are later in the year.
Yeah, they're later.
So, okay, you've seen those? I just want to make sure. All right, a quick update. Padres injuries before Jesse joins us from St. Louis. Nothing hugely unexpected, but Mike Schilt did confirm that Fernando Tatis Jr. is not with the team. He has gone to the team's complex in Peoria, where he is going to be facing young players and minor leaguers and getting at-bats. And after that, they will evaluate. I mean, I think there's a scenario in which he looks good and might be back as soon as next week in the homestand. Now, there's no promises. You know, it just depends on his progression and how he feels at the plate and, you know, what he looks like from the coaches that are there and the reports they're getting. But if he looks like Fernando Tatis Jr. and he's feeling good, he's pretty much at that stage where they're now looking for the signs. All right, is he ready to come back? So that's exciting.
How tempted are you? if you're there watching and he ropes one into the gap, Oppo. You're like, he looks fine. I mean, what are we looking for?
In essence, that is kind of what they're looking for. Like, if he puts together good at-bats, I mean, you're not going to want to waste a ton of them in, like, minor league rehab. If
Schilt's on the phone.
If he's swinging and
coach
looking
whatever
good,
down in Arizona, he's like, how's he looking?
you know,
just put two over the wall.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Pack his bag.
Pack him up.
He had two 450 foot shots over the wall. We don't want to be wasting these in Arizona or no at Double A or something. So bring them on up. So we'll see how that goes this week.
Like, yeah, they actually hit him off woods though. Does that count? Like, does it matter? I mean, it's timing. You know, obviously, you got to get your timing down. You got to make sure your body's going to respond, and they're going to. I would imagine they would ease him in, don't you think? Somehow, some way.
Well, I would imagine you'll see some DH days when he comes back. But they do need him out in the field as well. You know, at some point
they absolutely
they've got a great spot for him in right field now.
Yes,
but they're not getting a ton of production. David Peralta did a nice job. But
I love him.
You're just not. Defensively, you're giving up quite a bit for Tatis.
He was busy last night, David Peralta.
He was
on the move.
Made some nice plays.
I really, really like that dude a ton. I really, really do. But, yeah, you know, anytime you get a chance to upgrade with Fernando, you do it.
Ha-Sung Kim was back in here in San Diego yesterday getting an MRI, but he's expected to join the team in St. Louis today. I would imagine if the results of that MRI are positive, then he's just counting down the string of, what, three or four more days before he's eligible to return from the 10-day injured list. And then Yu Darvish is with the team and he threw three simulated innings on Sunday. We talked about that yesterday. His next step is going to be stretching out maybe to like five innings, and they're still deciding on whether that's just in like the bullpen with the team on the road or if they actually want to send him to the minor league somewhere and make that start. And if that goes well, you could see Yu Darvish back in maybe 10 days or so.
Crazy,
to the Padres rotation. So injury updates galore yesterday from Mike Shildt about the three key guys who are still not on that roster but could give a nice little lift to the Padres. Speaking of lifts, there's Manny lifting Yu Darvish into the air. I don't know why. I saw that picture yesterday as well, Paul. Why he lifted him up.
Yeah, why not?
He's giving him a big hug.
Give him a hug, dude.
From behind?
Save that. yeah, he snuck up behind him and gave him a big hug.
Don't injure the man.
I've done that to you 100 times.
Not lifted me up off the ground.
I can't.
He's a big guy.
Well, you're a big guy, too.
Try it right now.
All right, let's see if I can get you. Stand up.
This is going to be...
Really?
I've never been lifted so high off the ground
before.
Have
you not? Not since you were a little kid.
Since I was a little kid.
I think I hurt my back.
Did you hurt your back?
I think I'm on the 10-day IL. Yeah, that looks like Manny crept up and just got him. And, you know, they love each other, man. Oh, that did hurt.
You should try that with Jesse. He's a lot smaller than me.
You are dense.
Yeah.
Dense. Damn. Like, you're not.
There's no
fat. Even, it's like, he's like a tree trunk.
STFatLoss.com. I just kept the good stuff.
Rock hard, man. Woo!
Oh, man. All right.
I was supposed to do legs today. I don't think I need to now. I think I'm good. I got one big like power lift, and I think I'm fine.
All right. So hopefully Jesse's in some air conditioning somewhere. We will chat with the voice of the Padres coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor and Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor and Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor and Decor. Floor and Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Well, as I said, I just hope he's in some air conditioning somewhere.
Oh, God.
Jesse Agler will join us right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Don't know how I missed that. That would have been even.
Zach just said, almost laid me out. God, you guys are on fire, man.
Well, as we bring Jesse in, and the reason why everything is so corn-related on our program today is that Woodsy said when he tweeted last night, what happened to all the greatest fans in baseball?
Yeah, baseball's best
fans. Why is there no one at the game? Someone responded that, well, the corn is sweating, and it's creating such heat and humidity that even Cardinals fans deserve to watch at air conditioning, and they're not showing up. And we didn't realize that corn could sweat, Jesse. So that's why you're so uncomfortable when you have to go outside in St. Louis. Good morning.
Good morning. Here's a kernel of information
for you. USOB.
They can blame the corn all they want, but, I mean, it ain't the corn.
It's not the corn.
This town, and I talked to a bunch of people about it yesterday, seems to have revolted against this team, which is not something I think a lot of us ever thought was possible. And it was wild being in that building last night. And again, there are 500 teams.
Yeah.
Like, they went into yesterday's game with 65-65. It's not like they're 30 games out and, you know, it's like, okay, you understand it. Like, that's a 500 team that's on the outside looking in, but like in the general conversation about the wild card, second place team in a division, although well back of Milwaukee at this point. And the fans are fed up. It is really, really wild. And I mean, I never thought I would see that few people in that building for a baseball game.
We found out yesterday, Jesse, that they have not had back-to-back losing seasons since 162-game seasons were invented. So now I'm wondering, maybe they've just been such pleasant baseball fans because they've never had to live through what the rest of us have had to live through.
Right.
And that is, you know, tough seasons consecutively, which is really weird and lucky for them until now.
Yeah, I mean, it's an organization that, and, you know, the people who are not from here or don't, you know, don't consider themselves part of the little Cardinal solar system, you know, you sometimes poke fun of the Cardinal way,
sure,
the best fans in baseball, all that kind of stuff. But, like, they really did for decades have a system and a thing that they, you know, sort of believed in and operated with. And it seems like they've gotten away from that, which is quite a choice. You know, the most successful National League team ever by quite a bit when you really think about it in terms of pennants and World Series. They're not at the Yankee level, but there's nobody else really at their level. And to say, you know what, we're going to be in charge now, and we think we're a little bit smarter, you know, than everybody else who's been here. We're going to do things differently in our own way. And then to have really abject failures coming out of that and to continue to say, no, this is the way we're going to do it. The Mike Schilt thing still burns the fans here. There's always stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we'll never know about. So I don't want to oversimplify something like that. But, I mean, he was a winner. And that's what it's about, is winning. And, you know, I think the fans here, that was maybe one of the, I don't want to say last straws, because I don't think we're at last straws yet. But that was definitely one of the contributing factors, it seems, for this fan base to kind of look at the people who are running the team and being like, what do you guys got going on here? You know, what's your plan? And then to come out and kind of have the struggles that they have had, it's you're entitled to bad years. Don't get me wrong. You're entitled to bad decisions. Every team has that. But to see this fan base turn on this team in this way, I'm telling you, it's borderline unbelievable for me.
That's wild, man. And you know, I was thinking about it last night, right, when I put the broadcast on television. That it's like one of the first things they said. They were blown away. Mudd was like, I can't wrap my head around this. And I did see a lot of the Schilt discourse on Twitter as well after the game of like, hey, man, you guys thought you were smarter than everybody else, and you went and hired Ollie Marmol. He's not very well liked at all in St. Louis. It's just pretty nuts how, you know, what can change in a couple years, Jesse. And then you watch, like, man, I always loved Paul Goldschmidt. I really did. What an elite hitter he was. It's wild to watch him scuffle and not come through. His batting average, I think, with runners in scoring position is in the it's got a one in front of it, which is just hard to wrap my head around.
162 going to play yesterday, although as I was saying that, he had an RBI single,
of course.
And you know, he's the one, you know, that jumps off the page. Because, you know, you can talk about the front office, you can talk about Ollie Marmol, but if Paul Goldschmidt was hitting around 300, you know, maybe things are very, very different for them. Not to put it all on one guy, but, you know, that's a good reminder. And you know, Matt Olson is another one this year who had, you know, MVP, led the league in everything a season ago, terrible year. And it's just a really good reminder about baseball that, you know, we saw it last year with some of the Padres. You know, you think, all right, slow start, he'll get it going. Sometimes you just don't. And, you know, maybe it's injury related. Sometimes there's a mental thing going on. Sometimes it's just one of those years. And yeah, for Paul Goldschmidt to come into play on August 27th, hitting .227 is jarring. You know, I mean, even last year, which was, you know, maybe something of a down year for him, still had more hits than any other Cardinal, still had more walks than any other Cardinal, still had 31 doubles to lead the team. And you're like, all right, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt, 35 years old, he's got it. You know, now he's about to be 37, and is this the end? I don't know. You know, maybe he bounces back and has a great year next year. Because I'm with you. He's always been one of my favorite guys to see. Just pro, great hitter, tremendous player. And to see his numbers where they are is, as I said, kind of a reminder that, like, you know, you think you know what you're talking about in spring training in terms of who's going to produce what. But, boy, the baseball season is a mean summer, and you just never quite know.
Talking to Jesse Aguilar here on 97.3 The Fan. Thanks to Goose for that.
Oh, Aguilar.
Ear of corn.
Ear of
Aguilar.
Corn. I was
yeah.
like, what?
On 97.3 The Fan. Now, it's hard.
That was amazing.
There you go.
Oh, they can't stop.
It's hard to come up with things to say now about Jackson Merrill, questions to ask about Jackson
right.
Merrill. He's just continuing to do amazing things. But I thought this one was interesting yesterday. He was facing Kyle Gibson for the second time, homered off him way back in April. And I saw that, you know, Gibson got him on the first at-bat, made an adjustment. And then Jackson comes back and readjusts back in the next at-bat. Really good with the bases loaded, pressure situation. The fact that he has been able to do that, Jesse, so quickly in his rookie year, that's something that you don't often see from players until they get, you know, several years into their big league career. But he seems almost adjustment-proof at this point.
Oh, I hesitate to say that because yeah. it feels like a dangerous thing, but it does seem that way. I mean, it's hard to argue with your point. You know, Mike Schilt said, I think it was yesterday, he just has this ability to slow things down. And as he said, it's kind of one of those things we generally say about guys who have, like, you know, been around 6-7 years in the big leagues and have kind of been through all these scenarios and have learned lessons the hard way. And he's out there doing it as a 21-year-old, you know, in August of his first major league season. You know, the thing that impressed me most about that at bat, and you're right, the adjustment was great and kind of playing the cat and mouse game with Kyle Gibson. But it was, you know, he had hit the walk-off home run the day before. You're up in a bases-loaded situation. It would be very easy for any hitter, particularly a young hitter, but really any hitter, to be like, I am going to hit this ball 1,000 miles out to right field. That's what I want to try and do. And what did he do? Just sliced one the other way. And that has been the MO of this team and of Jackson Merrill all year long when they are at their best, and they've obviously been at their best for quite a while now. It's just never trying to do too much at the plate. And it is so impressive to see it, again, especially from a guy that's 21 years old. But to be in that moment, not let it get away from you, and you know what? Perfect. Bing, the other way, two runs come in, and that was pretty much it. I mean, it's been remarkable watching the difference in the offensive approach this year as compared to last year, the sort of buy-in that they've gotten from everybody on the roster. You add in guys like Solano and Arraez, who are sort of naturally that way, and that's why this team is so much better with runners in scoring position. That's why this team is so much better in, you know, close games, clutch spots than they were a year ago. And to be able to do a literal 180 in a season is pretty incredible. And, you know, endless credit to Victor Rodriguez, endless credit to Mike Schilt, endless credit to the rest of the hitting staff and all these players for kind of sticking with the approach, staying disciplined. And, I mean, it seems like I could count on one hand this year the number of at-bats I've seen where somebody was trying to do too much, when last year it seemed like it was happening every single night 4 or 5 times. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Look at the record now as compared to this time last year.
The proof is actually in the pot de creme. Is what I learned earlier. It's a fancy name for pudding. I learn a lot on this show, talking to Jesse Aguilar here on Ben and Woods this morning. So St. Louis into Tampa. Got to be your favorite road trip of the year. St. Louis for 4.
Picture and then, Jesse about a year ago when the schedule was released. Circled that and goes, can't wait.
Yeah, toasted raviolis. 100%
humidity. Glad there's no off day here on this one.
Yeah,
just
you
get
don't
it, get
you
it done as fast as
just
possible.
Get it over with. I know we ask you every year, and I never get tired of your St. Louis stories. This is a good time for you to catch up on maybe a book you're reading or some YouTubing or some Netflix shows.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I've got a book. I finally started Oppenheimer. I've been putting it off.
So
and so I'm making my way through that. I've got a book that I'm making my way through. This is definitely one of those things. This is not a go out and about kind of road trip, particularly, you know, end of August, end of an 18 in a row stretch, you know, 100 degrees with 100% humidity. You know, at least the games in Tampa will be indoors. But this is
how's the booth?
I did.
Filled with
not
bugs
saying.
If it's like the TV booth.
Yeah,
apparently.
There was lots of bugs in the TV booth.
You know, here's one. This is very inside baseball, but you guys might appreciate
it.
We like it. It's amazing to me that, you know, they build these stadiums, right? And I'm talking like probably 90% of the booths, TV, radio, both, you know, all over the league. The booth is constructed in a way as if they didn't realize people would be sitting up front broadcasting the game, which, and I mean by that is that, like, Dave Marcus kind of sits behind us in most of these places. Yep. He's got like a little tower, right, with all his equipment. And in the ceiling above Dave and kind of in the back of the booth by the door are like normal fluorescent lights. But then at the desk where we sit, there are no lights. And it's like, what did you think was going to be happening in this room when you constructed this building? And it's like, you get your flashlight out, like trying to read stuff. Because it's like, you know, at a night game, it's just dark. And it's like, what were you guys thinking? And it's like, it's amazing to me that place after place. So no, not a good booth. The view is fine, but it's cramped and dark and obviously hot. So
Dave should have one of those desk lamps for you that he just packs and then sets up right there. And you just, you know, pull the little chain when you sit down and you've got your desk lamp.
That's exactly right.
The little green one, like an old accountant.
Yeah, exactly. Click, click. And maybe a little portable fan, perhaps, for you guys as well.
Oh, no. Oh, he brings fans for himself. He brings fans for himself. Multiple. He's got angled both ways. Yeah.
Just on him. Yeah, you can't really do it with a mic either. There's one in here, but you can't really turn it on because it makes... The mic picks it up. All right, so you guys are going to kill me, but... I made an executive decision. We're not going to do song lyrics today. We were going to do Oasis. But I don't want to jinx the band. They just announced they're getting back together. They hated each other for many years. We were going to do an Oasis song.
Seriously?
Yeah. And I just said, you know what?
You spent all week telling us how this is not a dictatorship.
Correct. Here's how it's not a dictatorship. I let Ben pick the word.
Words. And you didn't like my word, so you nixed it.
No, you do your word.
Oh, well, because Paulie doesn't even have the word.
This is not a dictatorship.
All right, fine. Yeah, we're going back. We're going with Korn.
Yeah, because we've been talking about Korn all day.
Jesse is a civilized man. I'm sure he's gone to some nice restaurants and seen this item perhaps on a menu at a fancy Mexican restaurant. But it is a fungus that grows on corn. That is a delicacy, especially in Mexican cuisine.
You eat the fungus.
You actually eat the fungus. In America, it's just called corn smut. But when you order at the restaurant, it's called huitlacoche.
Huitlacoche?
Huitlacoche. And I will text it to you, Jesse. But huitlacoche.
Huitlacoche.
Yeah. Huitlacoche. Huitlacoche.
Sorry about it.
I've actually never heard of that, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I know. You can look it up a little bit.
Or if you
it's like a mushroom that grows on corn that people eat. It really looks nasty, I must say.
Or if you just want to work in corn smut, that will also work, Jesse. But you pick. I'll give you the option.
It's a fungus.
Corn smut.
Huitlacoche.
Or huitlacoche.
Have you ever actually eaten it, Ben?
I have eaten it. Of course, yes. It's the Mexican truffle, as Ray points out. It's a very high-end gourmet ingredient that you'll find only in the finest restaurants. Huitlacoche is today's incorporator word. Thank you for not dictating me off.
Not a dictatorship.
People in the chat know it. They're coming up with it.
It's not a dictatorship.
We learn things on this program as well. I like to be educational as well as fun.
I need people tweeting me. I need some restaurant recommendations in San Diego where I can get huitlacoche.
There are several.
Por favor.
You can go up to maybe Vaga in Lucadia. They definitely have some on the menu.
What if you hate mushrooms? I don't like mushrooms.
Well, you probably won't like huitlacoche then.
I love mushrooms.
All right. Well, then you'll like corn smut. Please just stay corn smut. I'm begging you.
Thank you, Jesse.
Jesse, thank you very
much. Thank you, buddy. Bring your gold bond, Jesse. Very warm. Very warm.
Jesse Agler in the lightless booth in St. Louis.
How do you eat it? Off
the
cob?
Game 2 of the series. No, they'll put it in like an appetizer and like a tamale, or they can do it in different preparations.
Smut, yes. Tamale.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Huitlacoche.
I thought you just ate like an ear of corn and had corn smut on it.
You're going to cook it and you're going to do like with a mushroom. I mean, you don't like raw mushrooms.
Don't like any mushrooms.
Right, you don't like any mushrooms. Well, Paul's got the Rindle Report. Final hour of Ben and Woods coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.